Well, we've had a chance to go to Miami, you know, as usual. So, you know, they do a good job down there. I think Phil does a good job with the team. Certainly an explosive group offensively. They had a lot of firepower. The offense, and they've got a very athletic quarterback, receivers, tight ends, backs. It's good. You know, it's really a good group. And defensively, they're strong front. Let's see here. A lot of powerful guys. They're also quick, very good pass rushers. Linebackers are active. And they added depth in the secondary. Good. Solid group.
Coach, two-part question here. First, I'm wondering if it bothers you. There's a report out that the Jets tipped the officials off on Sunday about the push play, and I'm wondering what your if that bothers you that the Jets, in fact, did that.
Well, I mean, since they were using the play themselves, I don't know about all that.
Okay. Second part to the question, there's a report that Andre Carter's being signed, and I'm curious as to why sign him and why now?
Well, we don't have anything to announce right now. But when we do, then we'll
Bill, specific to the Dolphins, this is Kevin Coyle. Is he still a heavy blitz percentage with what he's been doing this year, or has that changed a little bit?
I think they mixed up pretty good, Mike. Obviously similar to Packers that we saw in Cincinnati. So they three multiple blitzers. Linebackers, secondary. They give you a lot of different looks. It's all blitz either. There's a good mixture of multiple coverages, multiple looks. Again, different but similar to what we saw.
What have you seen from Tannehill in terms of any growth from a first year to second year perspective?
Yeah, I think this year he's number one, spreading the ball around quite a bit. You know, using the receivers, got three good receivers, tight ends, backs, scrambling when he needs to. Certainly plays with speed. You know, they do quite a bit of checking, adjusting, line scrimmage. He's a smart guy, pretty competent. Just more of everything, but a good job of using. You know, you see him do all the things that quarterback can do, short, high props, head into backs, receivers, scramble, big plays, just high scrimmage. I don't really think there's anything that he doesn't do that quarterback can do, part of the arsenal.
6 year first seven games have been decided by 7 points or less, and that's more than three times the league average thus far. And wondering if you could put your finger, what do you attribute the close calls to in your game so far?
That's a good question. We always prepare for those type of games because if it comes down to one or two plays at the end, whether we're ahead or behind or tied or whatever the situation is, those plays are outcome of the game, so we always prepare for it that way. Of course, you never know how the games that turn out, but we expect those kind of games every week and work on what we need to do if we're ahead by a little, behind by a little, different field position situations, things like the kicking game. So if it comes down to that, then hopefully we'll be able to do that. So I don't know, if I can't for the reason or why there aren't close games, but not to say that we kind of approach it like every game is going to be like that. So we'll keep doing that.
Do you feel there's been times where maybe you've painted yourselves into the corner and it's had to come down to the last few plays because of what you didn't do for, say, the first 58 minutes?
Oh, yeah, no question. I mean, the question is, every game doesn't have to come down to the last play. be a lot easier on some of our hearts, blood pressure, and more consistently. Over the course of 60 minutes, but yeah, we're not sure. Some of those close games could have definitely been better handled. Certainly the Atlanta game. Done some things better that wouldn't have come down to that. No question about it.
Hey, Bill, can you just talk about your defensive backs and how they're kind of coming together? Obviously, without Tlaib last week, Logan had to play an awful lot. Just how they're coming through, and Marquise Cole also saw an awful lot of time in the Jet game.
Oh, sure. Well, first of all, you know, we've had pretty good continuity with that group, you know, for quite a while. I mean, I know that Logan and Ron are rookies, but they've been here, you know, all the way through. You know, we haven't really added, you know, people to that group, so they've had a chance to work together through the spring training camp. I think overall there's a good level of communication and confidence, you know, between all those guys. There's some versatility there. Bulls played safety and corner. You know, all of them have played inside and outside a little bit, you know, especially Logan and Kyle, but those have been in there too. The inside part of the defense. So Evans played corner as well. So I think that their familiarity with each other, understanding, communication, confidence in what they're doing has, you know, given us some of that flexibility. And then when we've needed it due to, you know, some guys getting banged up, that they've been able to make those shifts there. But group that works hard, they do a good job of studying and preparing and trying to stay ahead of the game rather than, you know, react to everything that happens. They've done a good job this year of trying to, you know, anticipate. And you know, certainly Steve and Devin at the safety positions have done a good job of making sure that we're coordinated with what we're doing in the secondary, you know, and all, not just the safeties, but outside of the corners and the nickel players and all that. So, you know, they've worked well together, and Duran's have been able to work in there some as well. And I think we have a lot of confidence in, you know, whichever group's out there, whoever the players are, whatever, we have 4, 5, 6 defensive backs out there, whatever it is. They all work very well together. There's some versatility.
Obviously, you didn't have Tlaib last week, and Logan, you know, got the start, played an awful lot of time. You're happy with the way, you know, he made it through?
Yeah. No, I thought Logan, you know, gave us some solid plays out there. I mean, they were obviously the big play on the interception. You know, had some good coverage plays, had, you know, some other plays that like that back, that could have been a little better overall. You know, we didn't give up, you know, a lot of yardage in the passing game, and most of what we did give up was on third down, so it's kind of a double problem there. But, you know, giving up the yardage on third down, but first said led to, you know, 50 run, so, you know, we just collectively as a defense just improve our third down play from what it was last week. You know, that would have made a lot better.
One positive from Sunday would be Julian Edelman returning punts, which seems to be the rule and not the exception. He's a guy that always deflects praise to the entire unit when talking about punt returning, but I'm sure, you know, the bulk of it's got to be the guy catching the ball. What kind of traits or characteristics do the good ones have to have that Julian has?
You know, Julian's done a good job for us, but I do think it's a, you know, it's a two-part thing. I mean, you've got to, no matter who the returner is back there, you got to get them started. And if they can't get started, then it doesn't matter who it is. If Gale Sayers back there, they can't get going, then it's hard to make anything happen. So, you know, a big part of it for the punt return team is to, you know, get the play started, get the returner started, and then You know, the returner has, of course, as you said, an awful lot of responsibility on the plate. Number one, of course, is decision making and ball handling. You know, which ball's the catch, which one's the let go, which one's the fair catch, which one's the return, and, you know, especially as it gets to, you know, inside your 10, 15 yard line down in that area, you know, that even becomes more critical. So that's number one, a huge part of the returner's job. Then after that, of course, it's, you know, to be able to, you know, create some type of, you know, plays on his own. I mean, we can't block everybody, especially if you have two people on each of the gunners, then, you know, you got one guy returning, four guys blocking there. So you're down to, you know, six guys trying to block the other nine. So you don't have enough numbers if you double the gunners, which usually there's some element of that. So, you know, then it comes down to the returner making plays on his own, whether it's with speed, quickness, vision, you know, breaking tackles, whatever happens. Jillian does a good job of all those respective positions, but balance. A lot of times he gets hit, but, you know, doesn't go down, and is able to, you know, find space and create blocking angles for the punt return team. Once he has a little bit of space, he does a good job of, you know, making those tackles on his own, or, you know, getting by two guys. And it's a combination of all those things, but it's a tough job. You know, it's a lot different than kickoff returner, who really doesn't have the ball handling issues. I mean, there's some ball handling issues, but not the same as on the punt, where you have guys like kickoffs. You have enough time to handle the ball. Blocking patterns are, you know, a little bit different. Kickoff return, punt return. Our job takes a lot of judgment, decision making, and like I said, you're always going to have a couple unblocked guys that you're going to have to deal with somehow. As Julian's a very competitive guy, he certainly doesn't mind the challenge.
You know, when the ball's in the air, most eyes are probably on either the ball or the guy about to catch it, and not so much on the guys in front of him. You mentioned that group, you know, not knowing, is there a couple guys, if I gave you a chance to single out someone in front of him who might be doing a good job, sort of unheralded, who might that be?
Well, you know, it changes a little bit from week to week. I mean, every team has two or three guys on their punt coverage team that are kind of the first guys down and, you know, are the key guys that you have to get blocked. Again, obviously, you know, the gunners are a key part of that, and because they can release early, so you have to block them. Some gunners are better than others, and then usually there's two or three guys inside. A lot of times it's the personal protector, but sometimes it's, you know, one or two or three guys on the line of scrimmage that are very disruptive players in punt coverage, and so could have any number of players, you know, assigned to them depending on where they're located. Again, whether it's the personal protector or whether it's, you know, the outside guys or the inside guys, and the way that the punt team will try to use the center sometimes and pick or, you know, try to free up guys on the line of scrimmage so they can get off the line and get down there. You know, dealing with that. So it's not really any one guy per se. It's, you know, collectively the matchups and you know, getting the key guys on their own team. But of course, you know, the gunners outside are a big part of that. You know, Logan's done a good job for us. Tlaib, Duran, but Devin's been out there. Cole, you know, they've all done some of that. Kyle, you know, depending on who's up, and, you know, sometimes we try to, you know, spread that load around depending on what else we're doing on defense.
Hey, Coach, you faced Marty Morninglight last week as an offensive play caller for the Jets, and now you go up against Mike Sherman, both with connections, I guess, to the Green Bay West Coast philosophy. Are there similar tendencies in the way they call their games?
Well, I think that there are definitely some, there's carryover, Bob, in the overall West Coast offense, the pattern combinations and, you know, the overall coordination of the passing game. I would say two offenses are different. But there are some similarities in the concepts that they use. Yes, I'd say there's definitely some concept similarities. But play calling and, you know, how it ties in with the running game, formationing, and kind of the utilization of personnel, I'd say are, you know, significantly different this week.
And as a follow-up, speaking of utilizing personnel in the running game, the difference with Miami's offense without Reggie Bush as opposed to Lamar Miller being their featured back, is it a different kind of running attack that they possess now? Are they trying to utilize him in a different way?
You know, I'd say it's still pretty similar. You know, Miami has a lot of outside runs. Not that they don't run the ball inside. I'm not saying that, because there's plenty of those too, but they have a lot of perimeter-type plays or plays that start the perimeter and then cut back. So, you know, that was something that, you know, Bush was good at, but I would say that, you know, Miller's is also, you know, is also very good at that. And, I mean, all their backs, really. They have good backs, and, you know, the quarterback, you know, keeping the ball, there's the same element of that that, you know, was in place last year. So, yeah, I'd say that, you know, it's a little bit different. You know, Bush is a little bit different style, but backs are all good. And, you know, Miller's a strong back. He's a tough kid that breaks a lot of tackles. So, you know, he has a little bit of an element there that's a little bit different. But it's off Bush.